Lying isn't lying, it's bending the truth. And what about anger? I want you guys to tell me, what are some ways when people are angry, but they don't really say, I'm angry? What do they call it? I'm frustrated. I'm upset right now. I'm passive aggressive. I'm so irritated. Come on, there's some more. I'm so annoyed with what's going on. I'm PMSing. That could be true, but you're still angry. Few more? What's some other euphemisms for anger? I'm disappointed. Now, it could be disappointment, but it could also be anger. That's very true. What are some other ways we euphemize anger? One more. What's that? I'm at my wit's end. That's a good one. What's another one? I'm disgusted.
I'm in a snick?
Yeah. I'm in a snick. Right. It's not as bad if you're in a snit. That's right. Or if you're miffed. I'm miffed, right? It just sounds so much better. Cranky. I'm cranky. There we go. Having a cranky day. I'm working. I'm working through some issues right now because I'm PMSing and snitty. I'm cranky. How about stressed? I'm so stressed right now.
Overwhelmed.
Which could mean I'm either anxious or angry. But just depending, right? Overwhelmed.
Okay.
Disappointed. Yes. Displeased. Bothered. I'm so bothered. I'm so offended. Right? But we know that we know from the Sermon on the Mount and from James as well, from Matthew 5:21-22, Jesus said, "You have heard that the ancients were told, 'You shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court.' But I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, 'You good for nothing,' shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell." And so, how about this for biblical language? Instead of saying I'm disappointed and miffed and in a snit and wit's end or whatever, that we actually say, I'm committing murder in my heart right now. Okay. I think that would change our perspective on anger just a little bit. Okay? Biblical language is, I am committing murder in my heart right now towards you. I have in seed form murder. And I'm committing it against you. Okay, that's a wake-up call. That's telling ourselves what the Bible says is true. Okay? Not what the world tells us to euphemize our sin. Now, there's a definition on your paper, okay? I have the points outlined, and we're going to go through each of these, okay? This is from a book called Uprooting Anger that I read several years ago, and I like the definition, and we're going to work through the definition today. Robert Jones defines anger as a whole personed, I'll repeat it, so whole personed active response of a negative moral judgment against a perceived evil. Okay, again, anger is a whole personed active response of negative moral judgment against a perceived evil. So let's look at each part. When you say something in anger, Your mouth doesn't just slip, though we would really like to believe that. It comes from our heart, right? And our heart is our control center of our will. And we see it over and over again in the scriptures that everything's coming from the heart. And so this isn't a new concept for most of you. And we know if we go back to Mark 7 that there's a whole list of evil thoughts and thefts and murders and adulteries and coveting, wanting things and wickedness and deceit. And it says, Jesus says, all of these things proceed from within and they defile the man, right? It's all in the heart that's coming out. Our anger's in our heart and it's coming out. And of course, James, right, 1:14, our memory verse, but each one is tempted and carried away when he's enticed by his own lust. And when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Right? So, where does the anger proceed? From within. Okay? And if we were the only ones on an island, okay, we would still be angry. We'd be mad because our husband didn't pack the matches, right, to start the fire that we need to start and survive, right? We'd be mad about something because it comes from within. It's because of our lust that comes from our hearts, and the desires of our flesh rise up, and they take a whole person action against God and others. It's you. It's all of you who's angry. And it's active, right? It's something that we do. It's not something that we are. Oh, we're not just, oh, she's angry, right? They have anger issues. That's just who they are. No, it's something you do. Anger is an action, right? It begins in the heart, it settles in the mind, and then usually it oozes out of the mouth, right, on the most part. And for those who did not have probably a childhood where their parents disciplined them, they were allowed to engage in violence, and then it comes out in their physical, it comes out in physical violence because they were never restrained. They were always allowed to act it out, they were allowed to hit, right? And so the anger, instead of just being verbal, becomes very physical because it's not restrained, right? That's one of the reasons why when our kids were toddlers, we did not let them just scream in their room until they got tired. Okay? All that does is produce in them a desire to have uncontrolled and unrestrained violence, anger, until they get tired. Well, what if they don't get tired so quickly? Right? And then the next time, it's uncontrolled and it's unrestrained and they scream. And I had one friend, they just locked their kids in their room on the door on the outside and then just let them deal with it until they tore up all the whatever. So they took all the furniture out. And then they locked them in the room again until they fell asleep. Right? That is not the way to deal with anger. Those of you who have your own children, you do not have foster children, okay? I understand there's constraints there. But still, there is a way that you do not just allow violence and anger to be uncontrolled. It needs to be restrained, okay? It needs to be calmed. It needs to be dealt with. Because God does not want us to have unrestrained anger, right? He doesn't want us to. Once you feel that and once you experience that, it's hard to know how to deal with it in a restrained way. So it's active. And interestingly enough, there are some times where there's manifestations where sometimes it's internal and sometimes it's external, depending on how your personality is and how God has built you, right? If you internalize your anger, right, what does that look like? What animal is generally known as when you keep everything inside? You guys think a clam, right? You kind of clam up. Yeah. Okay. What shellfish do we often, right? And then What does internalizing your anger usually look like to other people? What's that? Okay, bitterness. What about just the physical manifestations? Sullen. Bloody lip because you're biting your lip. Nothing. Pouting. Right? I'm just going to go over here by myself and I'm going to pout. Right? I'm not angry. I just need time. Right? Which you do, but you're going to go and pout sometimes. Right? What else are you going to do? Oh, yeah. You sigh, you slam cupboards, you scrub a little harder on the kitchen floor, right? Withdraw, right? I'm going to withdraw or distance myself. I'm going to go for a drive, and I don't want to talk about it, right? Shopping. That could be internal or external. Sometimes cry, sometimes the cold shoulder, right? I'm going to punish you by not talking to you. So, but I'm not yelling, so I'm not angry, right? Clam up, right? Cold shoulder, clam up. And then there's the geologic feature for this external anger, right? So volcano, right? You're either the clam or you're the volcano, but they're both anger. One's the internal manifestations, right? But one's the external, and you will have... You could climb up too long and become a volcano. That's right. But sometimes there's just, I have a child who had outbursts of anger. That's what the Bible calls it. Outbursts of anger. Okay, I have the other one that goes and hides. Okay, and I got the other one who just is all out there, right? And so, of course, you think one is worse than the other, but they're not. They're both angry. And what does a volcano do? Erupts and rants and yells. Right? Outbursts of anger. Anything else? Name calling. Biting sarcasm. Guilt tripping. Yes. Revenge with words, as opposed to the revenge with the cold shoulder. I'm just going to exclude myself from you and not say anything. I'm not going to talk to you for 3 days until you come groveling, you know, and then we'll talk about it, right? So this person, the revenge is their words usually. You know, and for children, right, and maybe adults too, again, unrestrained anger, throwing, kicking, hitting. And usually the people who are volcanoes usually are not so deceived about their anger struggle. Usually it's the clams who... are usually a little deceived. You know, it's like, well, I'm not angry. I'm quiet. I just go to my room and deal with it, right? I don't talk about it, but I don't deal with it either, right? But whether it's internal or it's external, and whether you're a clam or a volcano, you're still committing murder in your heart against your brother. And it's a response. The next one. Anger acts against something. Therefore, it's reactionary. Circumstances and people may tempt us or provoke us to anger, but they do not cause us to be angry. Circumstances and people may tempt us, but they do not cause us to be angry. Say that your husband said he was going to fix something for you on his day off, but he's called into work unexpectedly. And your response to the situation is anger. And if I asked you, why are you angry? What would you most likely say? Said he would do it. What's that? He broke his promise. I'm so angry because Joe got called back into work today. It's always the same. Right? He always gets called in. The company. Why does that company have to call him in? Why can't they hire someone else? It's either the company or it's Joe, right? But it's never me, right? It's never me. Right? But you wanted something and then you didn't get it. And that's why you're angry. It's not the company. That was the circumstance, or that was the temptation before you, but it wasn't the cause. Anger is really a response to getting something that you don't want, right? Or not getting something that you really want. And you already went over Genesis 4, right, in your study today. And so I don't really need to go over that, except for just the idea that, you know, that Cain really wanted something. He wanted praise from God, right? And that was a good thing. Wanting praise from God is a good thing. But when he was willing to sin to get it, it wasn't a good thing. And so a good thing to ask yourself is, what do I want so bad right now that I'm willing to sin to get it? What do I want so bad? If you feel the whole heat thing, you know what I'm talking about, right? It's in your stomach, right? And you're starting to get a little hot in your stomach, right? And you think, what do I want so bad right now that I'm willing to sin to get it? Could be a good thing, right? Could be a good thing, but it's not good if you're willing to sin to get it. Okay, negative moral judgment. Anger comes from a sense of right and wrong, which opposes a perceived evil. Okay, something happens that seems very wrong to you. It seems very wrong that your husband got called into work on his day off. Right? I think we'd all agree with that, right? Or a friend said something to you and you perceived it as rude. That was wrong. That was rude. And so you're angry, so you want to take action against what they said. There's a perceived evil. Maybe someone borrowed something from you without asking, right? And that's wrong. It's a wrong. It's a perceived evil, right? And back in Cain, why had his countenance fallen, right? Why was he angry? Because his assessment of what God said was wrong. A perceived evil. He wasn't correct. Okay, but that was his perception, that God was wrong. Cain thought his offering was worthy, but it wasn't. He had a negative moral judgment. And then the perceived evil, the key word here is perceived, right? It's one's personal perception of good and evil or right and wrong. And here's what Robert Jones says about this in that book, Uprooting Anger. Our anger postures us against what we determine to be evil. It determines that all offenders must be changed, punished, or removed. Okay? All offenders must be changed. Oh, Lord, please change him, right? That's what our prayers often. Change him. Change them, right? Punished. I'm going to give you the cold shoulder so that I can punish you for what you did to me. Or removed. I just don't want to deal with you anymore. Right? That's where we go. But remember that our perceptions can be right or wrong based on a number of reasons. Lack of information. You know, we think we can read people so well, right? But maybe they're in pain from cramps that day and they look mad and they're not. You know, they're just hurt. They're hurting. Or they had a bad day and they didn't say hi, because their mind is somewhere else and they're not thinking, you know. Wendy and I, we had this joke because my kids told me that when I'm not smiling that I look mad all the time, right? I'm like, I am so sorry, but I can't smile all the time, you know. Or if I'm concentrating on something, then you just look mad, you know. And I'm sure that people have thought that I am mad when I'm not, and I just can't help it. You know, it's how I look. Sad to say, you know, so I'm like, every time I go into a public situation, smile, smile, you know, and I like tell myself, don't frown, whatever you do, you know. But our wrong perception, we know for sure that Jeremiah 17:9 reminds us that our heart is more deceitful than all else, and who can know it? If we rely only on what we think and what we are feeling at the time, don't trust it. Don't trust it. You need more information than that. And so the scary part is that our emotions and lust can change our perception of good without even realizing it sometimes. And when we get down to the truth of the matter, most of the time is this: what I want is my perceived good, and what I don't want is my perceived evil. Okay? What I want is what seems good to me, and what I don't want seems bad to me. Okay? That's our negative moral judgment. And there is a difference between godly anger and sinful anger. Okay? That's why you'll hear some people, like especially in the counseling circles, they'll call it sinful anger. You know, most of the time for all of us, anger is just sinful, right? But there is sinful anger, and there is not sinful anger. And we see God's righteous anger. We know that God has righteous anger. For example, in Jeremiah 3, 1 through 5, the Lord calls them a harlot with many lovers. And he talks about them being violated and polluted and being people of harlotry and wickedness. And he declares his righteous judgment on them. He's angry with them because they have defiled themselves and taken on other lovers. That's a righteous anger, okay? And, of course, we know in Romans 1:18 that God's wrath is revealed against ungodliness and unrighteousness. Sin against God is righteous anger. Okay? Our holy God, who has given life to all mankind, has been rejected by his creation. People would not honor God or give him thanks. They gave their worship to created things instead of the Creator, who should be blessed, and it's a righteous wrath. And while God's anger is righteous, oftentimes ours is not. We are not a holy being who deserves to be honored and thanked, though sometimes that is appropriate in given situations, and we'll talk about that. But we are sinful creatures, and we're saved by God's unmerited gift. If it were not for Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, then God's wrath would not be satisfied, and we would be standing before God judged on our own works and not Jesus' perfect life. The problem is that we do not see others sin against us with pure motives. And so, in his book, Robert Jones gives three questions that we can ask ourselves whether we're having godly anger or we're having ungodly anger. And the first one is, does it react against actual sin? Okay? Are you angry with that child who just had the gag reflex against Jell-O right in the middle of the restaurant? That really happened. We were out with friends. Seriously, like they tried Jell-O and it was just like, wah! You know, it was like all of it. We were right in the middle. Everyone, hi! You know, everyone's staring at us, right? Was that sin? Right? Why are you embarrassed? Was that sin on their part? Are you angry at your husband when he forgot to make the reservations? Right? Because you have to drop everything now and go ahead and make that phone call and be on the line on hold for whatever, for how long it is? Are you angry at the cashier because they're sinning against God because they gave you the wrong change and now you got to go then get your item at Costco and you got to go back through the line and, right, and spend all that time? Is it because they sinned against you? Or against God? And sometimes the answer will be yes. When your child disobeys you, when your child says no to you, when your child whines and complains and does whatever that God says is wrong, that is sin, and it's sin against God, and it should be dealt with. But not because it's inconveniencing you. It's because it's against God, and you want to direct them in the way that they should go. You've been called to do that. That's the right thing to do. You should do that. Now, if you're angry, you shouldn't discipline them, okay? If you're angry because they've embarrassed you, or if you're angry because they did it the 13th time, and I'm so tired, and why are you doing this again, and your whole mindset is wrong, then you should wait okay, and confess your sin and then deal with their rebellion, okay? That is sin. But if it's because they spilled the milk and you have to clean it up and it's not sin, then you are wrong, okay? You have to ask yourself, did what they do right now, was it actually sin or not, okay? And then you can tell whether it's godly anger or not godly anger. Okay, does it focus on God and his concerns? Are you angry because you've been hurt or because God has been sinned against? Are you angry because your child's words disrespected you or because they are rebelling against God of the authority in their life? When your child disrespects you, they are sinning because they're rebelling against God's authority in their life. God has given parents as a blessing to children and their wisdom and their protection. And so when they rebel against that, they're rebelling against God's design. Okay? But when you say or think, how dare you talk to me like that? Okay? You are not considering God and his concerns for what's going on right now. Okay? You need to be concerned that they are rebelling against God's design, God's plan, God's kingdom, what he has planned, not against you, right? Jesus was angry with the disciples when they wouldn't let the little children come to him, right? Because they were hindering souls for Christ. There is a righteous anger, and there are times to be angry, but it has to do when it deals with God's concerns and God's kingdom and sin against God, right? But unfortunately, we get angry when our kid steps on our toes or accidentally grabs our thing the wrong way or, you know, I mean, you know, just the myriad of things that we get angry. But ask yourself, is this sin? What they just did right now, is it sin? And does it focus on God and his concerns? Ask yourself these questions. And then the third thing, does it coexist with other godly qualities and express itself in godly ways? If you are concerned about God and his kingdom, then it's going to manifest itself in godliness, right? Are we raising our voices and slamming cupboards and sighing? Can't believe he did that again, right? Are we huffing, right? Whatever manifestation. I wasn't yelling, I was just raising my voice so you would hear me better, right? Do you have to exclude yourself so that you can pout? Are you sarcastic in your responses? Well, what do you think? Right? Godly motives and godly concerns will beget godly fruit. Righteous anger will coexist with other godly qualities. If you are most concerned because your child has sinned against God, you're not going to be all angry about it. Right? You know what, sweetie? I understand that you sin. Mommy sins too, right? But you need to have a discipline for this. And I know that you did it lots of times today, and I know we have to have another discipline. I'm so sorry. But I love you more. I want you to not do this. This is sin against God, and we need Jesus. Jesus can help save us from our sin, right? Jesus can help us. We are giving the gospel to them. Every time they sin, we have an opportunity for the gospel. Every time. But we get mad. We get mad because it inconveniences us. Because they disrespect us. Because we have to do it one more time. And it's tiring and I'm done. They all went to bed. Why is somebody up right now, right? And so we just don't want to deal with it again. And yet we don't see it for what it is, right? But godly qualities, they express themselves in godly ways. And we need to remember that, and we need to pray for that, right? And we know that, you know, if we look at Jesus's life and, you know, challenge you, even this week, you don't have homework, go through a gospel. Look at the kind of compassion that Jesus had on sinners and how he dealt with them. The only people he dealt harshly with was the hypocritical Pharisees or the money changers when he actually overturned. That needed to happen. Okay, that wasn't like I'm going to be a ranting whatever lunatic, right? That was, this needs to stop and we're, and this is done, right? So there is a certain anger that displayed itself in a physical, and sometimes we have to do that with our children. If our kids are hitting someone, we just don't say, stop doing that, right? No, you go and you grab their hands and you tell them you need to stop that. That hurts. Would you like me to do that to you right now? Are you treating others how you want to be treated? No. You go and you stop it, right? There's a certain reaction against sin that is very immediate, right? You don't tell them, stop running into the street, right? Right? No, you go and you grab them, right? And you deal with that. And you practice over and over again so that when they're called that they will do what they're told, okay? But there's certain physical things. That doesn't mean because you yelled for them to stop that you were angry, right? So because it focused on God and his concern, right? And so there are situations where it is appropriate and right to deal swiftly, to deal physically, and possibly to, you know, to yell, right? That place is not in church where everyone's listening because they didn't do what you said, right? That is in a situation where there is danger, right? So if our anger is godly, then we confront the sin with prayer. We take the log out of our own eye, right? We speak the truth in love, and we desire to restore a fellow believer into the fellowship with God, or if it's a child, to restore them to ourselves. Okay? And then, sorry, I just want to see if I'm going to be able to finish this. But if we're dealing with our ungodly anger, then we really need to understand the source of the anger. And then we did this in our lessons today, okay? The source of quarrels and conflicts is that we lust and we do not have, so we murder. We're envious and we can't obtain, so we fight and we quarrel. And we do not have because we do not ask. So James 4, 1 through 3 gives us the answers to the motivations of our anger. And when we take a little bit deeper look, we see that when we have unmet controlling desires, then there's something we want more than we want than pleasing God. And I think you guys talked about this in your group, okay? Sometimes there's desires that are not wrong, okay? We want to have a loving husband. But if he's not loving today, do we sin in order to get it? We want obedient children. But if they're not being obedient, are we going to sin to get it? We want them to do well in school. But are we going to sin to get it? We want an orderly home. Oh, yes. And a clean floor, right? Oh, but do we sin to get it? Right? And if the things aren't going how we planned it, do we become despondent? Do we sulk, right? Become depressed because we didn't get our plans done that day and our home's a mess and whatever, dinner didn't come out. We were talking about in our group, you know, dinner didn't come out and the house is a mess and dad's coming home and do we get despondent and angry because that's happening? Or do we see it, okay, this is what happened and I didn't plan this, but the Lord planned this and am I going to be godly in this? Am I mad because I have to do more work right now? Am I mad because I feel unappreciated? Right? What is it? And so next week, we are going to talk about the anger idols and dealing with them. Okay? And there's going to be a worksheet again. So I just want to encourage you this week is, if you haven't done this already, if you find that you are a huffer or a sire or a sulker or a yeller or whatever that we were talking about, right? Please, please write down the situation and the circumstance that you find yourself becoming angry, okay? Write down the circumstance. I became angry when, you know, Joe didn't do this, or I became angry when little baby so-and-so, toddler so-and-so did this, right? Like spilled the milk, right? I got angry. Okay, write them down because those are going to help you to determine what the idol is going on deeper than that. Because if we don't deal with the idol, then we're not really dealing with the problem. We know we shouldn't be angry. I mean, most of us knew that when we weren't Christians, right? Okay, I know I shouldn't be angry. Well, now people say I deserve to be angry. But, you know, but we know that we shouldn't be angry. But what are we going to do to deal with the root of it? Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about next week. So your homework is to write down each circumstance. Okay, where you were, who was with you, what was going on, and what was the circumstance in which that you became angry. And you will talk about it in your groups next week, okay? All right, great. I'm going to go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you that even though we sin, Lord, and that we commit murder in our own hearts, Lord, every day, Father, that your death on the cross has covered and, Lord, forgiven us, Lord, the penalty of our sin. Lord, we thank you that your blood is sufficient to forgive us, and that your death on the cross and your resurrection from the dead is sufficient to give us the power to conquer and have victory over our sin in this life, God. Lord, we just pray that even this week as we are looking at those things, Father, that those circumstances or people, like what it is, Lord, that they do that tempts us to be so angry, Lord, or where we sin or where we stumble. Father, I ask that you will help us, Lord, to reveal to us, Lord, what it is that we want more than we want you. Help us, Lord, to remove the idols from our life and to deal with them. Lord, we know that your word is sufficient, and we know that when we apply your word, Lord, to our lives, even as Jesus did, Lord, when he is tempted, like, Lord, that there is victory in that.